Hey kids, chapter 16. Revisit chapters 1 through 15. Well, why do I have to do that? Why do I have to do that? Because it's a good idea, right? My kid told me once, I know all about the Bible. I read it in the fourth grade. I'll never forget that. I wonder if she remembers. I don't know. Chapter 16, revisit chapters 1 through 15, part 1. We'll blast through 8 of them today. Chapter 16 is preparation. Preparation for war. Huh? War. War against an unseen enemy that hates you and lay in wait to destroy you. Wow, it sounds heavy, doesn't it? Non-Christians and non-believers say we're so dramatic. You better hope we stay dramatic. We better hope we stay dramatic enough to tell the rest of the world. Beware. I tell you all, beware. We are all at risk without God. And without God, we become easily confused, confounded, without constant attention to prayer and study. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Very simple in Christ. You believe in him? He believes in you. Let's blow through chapters 1 through 9 briefly and efficiently. Believe it or not, it's a short lesson. It's a short lesson because it's a reminder, something that you got to hit on the way into battle, something you got to run in your head on the way to battle. So pay attention, buckle up. It's a real deal, Daddy-O, real deal. Chapter 16, 2022, part 1, chapter 1. Chapter 1, partnering with God. Partnering with God is the acceptance and a yearning to have a relationship and a mediator between you and God. I say it again, brothers and sisters, partnering with God is the acceptance and a yearning to have a relationship and a mediator between you and God. In the book of Job, the man cried out. He cried out. Job cried out. He desperately needed a just mediator. Job 9, 32, 35. He is not a mere mortal like me that I might answer him, that we might confront each other in court. If only there were someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together, someone to remove God's rod from me so that his terror would frighten me no more. Then I would speak up without fear of him. But as it now stands with me, I cannot. Job is probably the oldest story in the Bible. It is the story of a man inflicted with horrible problems, so horrible he's afraid to even talk to God about it. He doesn't understand why God would do such a thing to him. He pleads for a mediator, for Job knows that there is no way he could plead any case before the all-powerful God of heaven and earth. That's terror. When you can't even bring it to God, he was in such a way he didn't even want to make it worse, and he looked for a mediator. That scripture is powerful. When you read Job, it's powerful. Job is hard to read. You and I have that mediator in Jesus Christ. The mediator that Job was looking for, you and I have that. Look, as we all know, life will cause great pain. For me, without Jesus, I'm alone, as was Job. Well, God did rescue Job, and it's important that you know why and what was going on with Job, but that's another story. The oldest story in the book. It is a hard one to read, but it is a good one. However, for you and I, there is a mediator in Jesus Christ. He mediates me. He mediates for me to the Father. In my time of great pain, he mediates for me. And once I understood that, and when I accepted that, I was able to work, kids. I was able to work without restraint. And my life changed forever. The past was remembered. I remembered it only to request forgiveness of my sins. It didn't dog me. It allowed me to remember where he saved me and what he forgave me for, and for me to ask forgiveness of him. And my present situation became a new day in Christ every day. My present situation became a new day in Christ every day. Did that change my balance sheet? We're all wondering about that.
What's that got to do with my business?
It changed my balance sheet? Well, it changed everything. It changed everything, including my balance sheet. I had Jesus. I have Jesus between me and God. Between me and God the Father, I have Jesus. And Jesus understands both sides, God and me. And most important, Jesus loves me. And he wants me to succeed in the ways of the Father. You can't find that in any mediator in any court on this earth. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For me, without Christ, everything worked for a little while, and then it didn't. To commit to Christ is to admit that I am a sinner, and although unworthy, I give myself to the Lord's work. That he used me for his will, not mine. And that my friends, is a rocket ride. That he used me for his will, not mine. And that, my friends, is a rocket ride. Matthew 7:14, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. We start with chapter one. You see that? Chapter one, partnering with God. It's a big deal. Chapter two, the original blueprint. My destiny. The one God made for me before time itself. You want to meet your best self ever? You want to look in the mirror and be happy with what you see? Great. Get on the path and stay on it. In the book of Acts, it is described as the way. Acts 24:14. However, I admit that I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that is in accordance with the law, and it is written in the prophets. Obviously, that is the word of God, the way. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Be careful not to measure yourself by the world. Clearly, some of the worst people in history garner the greatest wealth. Am I right? Some of the worst people in history, some of the worst people right now have the greatest wealth. Wealth is certainly not a measurement of godliness. Philippians 4:11-12. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. All right, we had two of them now. We have two of them now, right? Partnering with God and the original blueprint. You certainly want to know those two, don't you? Chapter 3, free fall. We're familiar with it, all of us. Free fall is an indisputable failure that can only be interrupted by God. You fall off of a 70-story building, God's about the only thing that can help. My life has been like that, and so has yours. He saved you. Now what are you going to do with it? By the way, believers and non-believers are susceptible to a free fall, right? Believers and non-believers, right? The decision that seemed so right at the time, it's so right. However, it sets you on a path of losing it all. Proverbs 27:12, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep on going and pay the penalty. A free fall is definitely caused by wanting more. Content and grateful keeps you far away from the cliff of catastrophic loss. I'll say it again. Contentment. Contentment and grateful keeps you far away from the cliff of catastrophic loss. Chapter 4. By the way, chapter 3, free fall, right? Huh? We're running them down. The original blueprint, right? The original blueprint. Number 1, partnering with God. Number 2, the original blueprint. Number 3, free fall. Number four, line up and wait. You've turned things around in chapter 4. You've turned them around. It's a brighter day. Thank you, Jesus. And now with this new information and a second chance, why? Why is it taking so long to feel okay? I'm always ready for the other shoe to drop. Why? Why? And what about the feeling that I don't have enough money in case something big goes bad again? Faith is the reason for chapter 4. Learning your faith in God. Best we deal with the way things are and be extra grateful for the challenges, the blessings, and the waiting for whatever comes next, which strengthens one's faith. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Chapter 4, let's keep it on rolling, kids. Chapter 5, the Black Forest. This is a scary chapter, isn't it? For those unfortunates who experience great good or great bad, either one is an equal opportunity employer for those who decide there is no God. For those unfortunates who experience great good or great bad, either one is an equal opportunity employer for those who decide there is no God. Left in this mind, there is no good end, my friends. Living life without God, I struggle with what is important. When I lived life without God, I struggled with what is important. The bar could change every day, right? This is important. That's important. No, this is more important. No, it's this. No, it's that. We're experiencing right now in the culture that we're in. It's crazy. No, this is important. No, that's important. No, it's maddening. And most importantly, it's unfulfilling. It's unfulfilling. Well, we're still getting to the Black Forest, right? Worse. It's maddening and unfulfilling without God. The world, the bar changes. But I got to tell you what's worse. When you're faced with the last moments of your life, the decision not to believe will not only be the last decision you ever make, it also carries the worst eternal consequences, i.e. judgment. The Black Forest is without God. You can't come back from it. Jeremiah 2:21, I planted you a choice vine from the very best seed. How then could you turn into a degenerate foreign vine? Oh, kids, the Black Forest, it's beckoning us with promises of a better everything. But in order to get into that club, you have to not believe in God. Let's avoid that one, right? Chapter 6, let's keep rolling. We're rolling, huh? Accept God's word as your primary weapon. The playbook of a soldier in spiritual warfare. Chapter 6, accepting God's word as your primary weapon. That's the playbook, kids, of a soldier in spiritual warfare. Struggles against obedience, temptation, rage, fear, self-loathing, arrogance, insanity, and any number of challenges. The word is life. Deuteronomy 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. God's word is your primary weapon. The world has lost its mind without these words. There's no good end without these words. They are your primary weapon against insanity. Chapter 7. We're rolling, aren't we, kids? Acceptance. I am a sinner. I am not worthy. I am selfish, prideful, deceitful, disobedient, arrogant, pathetic, unqualified, unworthy. Jesus died for my sins, those sins. He died for those. He rose from the dead, ascended into heaven so that I may have eternal life and my sins forgiven. What sins? Selfish, prideful, deceitful, disobedient, arrogant, pathetic, unqualified, unworthy, just to name a few. In the blood of Christ, I have been given a second chance and so have you. I ask for the strength to do what needs to be done. Not what I might want to do, but what needs to be done exactly on time right now. No talking about the way things should be or used to be or might be or could be. Please, God, give me direction and discernment to deal with things as they are, the way it is. Ezra 10:4, arise, for it is your task, and we are with you. Be strong and do it. Acceptance, yeah, chapter 7. Chapter 8, pretty fast stuff, huh? Chapter 8, integration. If God is in the small things, he is in the big things. If I am not trustworthy in the small things, I am not trustworthy in anything. Integration. Luke 16, 10-11. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Integration, chapter 8. Integration is the combination of all things considered with God, all things known with God, all things experienced with God, all things learned with God, all things prepared with God. Wisdom is God. Knowledge is God. God is God, and I am not God. In him, I am great. Without him, I am not great. Revelation 1:3. The one who reads this is blessed. And those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep what is written in it are blessed, because the time is near. Now, those are short chapters. Well, they're short to remember, because when you go into battle, you got to have this stuff already on board. You got to have it provided for in the very systems, the very fabric of your systems. Why? Because chapter 16 is about preparation. You're going in. You're going in for war, as I said at the beginning, against an unseen enemy that hates you and lay in wait to destroy you. We are all at risk without God. The world, all of us, become easily confused, confounded, without constant attention to prayer and study. Oh, yeah. Partnering with God, the very basis of everything I have done in my life is to accept the fact and yearn to have a relationship with God and a mediator between me and God the Father. A mediator. And we have one now. When you look at this, make it something that you have with you. It is something that I take with me when I go into battle every day. Is it a little much? Do those that not believe say we're very dramatic? Stay dramatic, kids. Stay dramatic. Stay crazy dramatic. Stay crazy, wild, and dramatic in the Lord. You notice you're a little happier than most of your friends, even though you're challenged out of your mind? It's God. God is with you. You are with God. A yearning for God. Chapter 16, revisit chapters 1 through 15, part 1, chapters 1 through 8. We revisit the lessons that brought me out of insanity and into the book of life. Life, life, life. The Bible is life. The original manuscript from the Greek text found and verified over and over in history. It's not somebody's concept. Anybody that says that has not read anything in history, has not read anything, has not found anything. It just sounds good to say it. They get to be in the club because it is verified over and over in history. The Bible, the words in the Bible are verified, rediscovered in its original form, discovered between 1947 and 1956 in 11 caves near Kirbet Qumran on the northwestern shores of the Dead Sea. Those manuscripts, they were called the Dead Sea Scrolls. Those manuscripts are approximately 2,000 years old. They date from the 3rd century BCE to the 1st century CE. Most of the scrolls were written in Hebrew, with a smaller number in Aramaic or Greek. Most of them were written on parchment. Somebody wrote them on parchment thousands of years ago, with the exception of a few written on, I think it was papyrus. But guess what? It's the exact same Bible, the same words that we are studying today. Wednesday, August 31st, 2022. It has truly been here. Those words have truly been here as God said they were from the exact time quoted within it. Verified. Written as it was, as we read it to this day, thousands of years ago. The chapters fit together like a machine. Like a machine that drives people into the next dimension, into the grace and mercy of a loving God, a roadmap that delivers a person, as I say, from the hands of fate into the hands of destiny. Isaiah 11:2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Chapter 16, Part 1, Chapters 1 through 8, 2022. Kids, God is always faithful, especially to you. Amen. John, let her roll.